If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Sin, addiction, failure, it's all gone. You have a fresh start. The old you is dead and gone. The new has come. You see, God brought me out of the bondage of sin and death into the kingdom of life. This is the good news, that Jesus died for you and me. So woe unto me if I do not preach this gospel.
You're welcome to another episode of Salvation Talk with Anne. I'm super excited because today we have our first guest in the person of Sheye Falujo, a woman I love, respect, and honor so much. I mean, one thing about Pastor Sheye is that she's a woman of God, no cap. That is what I can say to encapsulate every other thing. She's a woman of God and she's a pastor at Communion Christian Center. That's why I'm going to be calling her Pastor Sheye. I'm referring to her as the pastor. She's also the convener of the Complete Women Network. She's founder of God Seekers Ministry. She's the convener of the Dunamis Teaching and Healing Meetings. Mm-hmm. And there's also Dunamis Discipleship School. And she's also a physiotherapist and the MD of MediHelp Healthcare. Right. I'm sure there's more to that. Maybe something I missed, because she's the actual representation of a complete woman. She's an all-rounder. And I really admire that about her. Pastor Sheye is someone that you look at. She's one of those people that you just look at and be like, this person cannot have a past because of how holy and righteous they seem. They just look like people that have been born again since mother's womb. Exactly. So yes, thank you so much, Pastor Sheye, for coming on this podcast with me. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Thanks for the privilege too.
Yes, so we jump straight right into it. And first question I'm going to be asking you, when exactly did you become born again?
Okay, the first experience I can remember now was when I was in senior secondary school. That was SS3. And I remember I was in a program. I can't even remember the message. I just knew I came out for altar call, and then something changed. That was 12 years ago. But you know, this issue of giving your life to Christ, collecting it back. And then finally, final experience I remember quite well that I knew was like a final surrender. Although I had been, you know, being a Christian before then, I was born into a Christian home, but all I knew was religion until my SS3. And then this other experience, the one I can actually remember, because I hear people don't say, oh, this was when I gave my life to Christ. I couldn't remember when that happened. So I had another opportunity, was when Papa Adebo came to school. I was in 200 level in Obafemi Awolowo University. I think that was January 2012. So I came out, pray for, I can remember the experience very well. But prior to that time, you know, you give it, you take it, you give it, you take it. But then that was actually when I knew, I surrendered my life to God. And then, you know.
Okay. So just tell us a little bit about Sheye before all of this ministry stuff, before you came to Christ, the old you.
Okay, so like I said, I was born into a Christian home, but I was very religious. Not like I had a personal relationship with God, so I was deep into many things. Number one, I remember I was exposed to sex quite early in life. I was sexually abused for a long time, so I grew up liking sex. So even when I didn't have it, I didn't know when I went into masturbation. As at that time, I didn't even know it was called masturbation. It was called masturbation until like several years after I had been delivered and all that. So I was deep into those things. I remember I wanted to be a tomboy. I would dress like one. I didn't like girls. Like, I was very free, more free with guys, you know. When you're in secondary school, moving from one boy to the other, you're always on extra cool. My dad was afraid for me while I was growing up, because he felt I was going to be very wild. So he tried to tame me. You know, guys would call me at night. I was very young. Even as at that time, some of my sisters were not even in a relationship. My dad would seize my phone. Guys would call me at night. I was deep into many things. I used to steal from my dad's pocket. I remember a particular one. My dad was beaten, and then I went into his room. checked his pocket. I saw this heap of 500 notes. I took what I wanted to. He didn't know until eventually I didn't know. I would lie without having any, as in having any remorse. I was deep into many, many things. I wanted to be wild. You know, all the secular songs. I could sing all the rhymes, all the lyrics. As in, I was really, really deep into many things.
Wow. So while we are doing all of these things, did you, some people that go through this kind of phase when they do all these things, some of them already have God communicating to them at an early stage. Like, they may start feeling like, I should not be doing these things, or God, please help me from these things. Like, for me, there are certain things that I went through in life that I knew that this thing I was doing was wrong, and then I was like, God help me, I don't want to do this thing anymore. But then I was still doing it, and I was still wallowing in sin, and I was still enjoying it. But once in a while, that guilt came. Did you ever experience that kind of thing?
Yes, I did. You know, remember I said that I was born into a Christian home? So my house is a time where we wake up every morning to pray, we read the Bible, if I will read Psalms. My dad will always ask myself and my immediate elder sister to read. So I was reading scriptures. And I was doing terrible things. So there were those times when you do something and then you feel guilty, especially when those lights that you read in the morning come back to you. And but then it didn't stop because I had not encountered the person of Christ.
Wow.
I remember I would do things, I would feel bad, but then I would still go out because I loved it. Yeah. Like, the willpower to say no was not there.
Yeah.
I knew it was wrong, but the willpower to just resist it was not there. So anytime I feel like maybe doing something, I'll just do it. If I feel like masturbating, I'll just go and do it. I mean, I feel better. At least I know I fulfilled the desire, the kind of desire then and all that. But there were times I felt, so there was even a time I was part of choir and I was not born again. Like, I was actually forced to be part of it. I remember then in my home church, my parents' church, I was a member of choir. You know, I'll be on extra cool from like 12 midnight to 4 a.m.
Wow.
talking to a boy. And then on Sunday morning, you have to be, because I was practicing religion.
Yeah.
I didn't know Christ. Yeah. I would still sing, I would still back off. But thank God for Jesus. Well, there were times I did things I was not proud of, but then the way power to say no was never there.
Yeah, thank God for that. So can you just tell us, how did these things affect you? Because all of these things, they always have, there's a backside to it. I mean, things that people may not see on the outside, the struggles you go through behind the scene, do you understand? So how did these things that you had delved into, how did they affect you?
Was it after or before?
Before.
Before I became born again.
Yeah, before you became born again. And then maybe you can just tell us about how and why you eventually came to Christ.
Okay. So these things really, one thing about sin is that the power of sin is in secrecy.
Yeah.
Some of the things are not things you are proud of telling people that this is what you are into.
Yeah.
So that power will always keep you there. Something at the backside of your mind will tell you this is not good. But because you enjoy it and because you are doing it in secret, it's just, you know, it got stronger. The way you part to do it got stronger than your resolve to say no. Do you understand? So it affected me for a long time because, number one, I had to keep it a secret. Surely the sexual abuse and the masturbation, I had to keep it a secret. I don't want to let it out. Some people say, oh, your father will kill you if you talk to anyone about it. You understand? So I lived in fear. It damaged my self-esteem for a long time.
Yeah.
Even after I'd become born again, I remember a prayer I used to pray when I became born again. Like, when my eyes opened, it's very funny, you know. You naturally wish sometimes that you had a pure, perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
But thank God that when you're in Christ, all things have passed away. But then it damaged my self-esteem. At some point, my dad never trusted me.
Oh.
Like, it was lack of trust from the family. They just felt, this is who she is. This is all. So my dad tried so much to tame me not to become the wild girl he had seen in his mind I was going to become. I mean, well, I'm from a family of five, four girls and a guy. In her house, there's a law. A guy is not permitted to visit you. Like, my dad is so protective. He was so protective of his girls while we're growing up. You know, we're not allowed to, you know, a guy was not allowed to visit us. My three elder sisters would not bring a guy. And at a very young age, those guys will come and they will meet my dad and my sister was like, what F1 tree?
Exactly.
Like, I was not afraid of anybody. So because of that, my dad didn't trust me. I had trust issues. I would want to lie. I would want to leave the house because I wanted to go and see a boy. Mm. You know, so many things that you grow up with. It becomes a habit that even when you become born again, you struggle sometimes to let go of those things. So it does have a ripple effect before Christ and after Christ. That's since I chose.
Well, I'm sure that after heaven was like very glad that you gave your life to Christ. As your family must have been very excited. To see the woman that you grew up to become. So tell us about that. Everybody gets that point, that when you've had enough, that turning point. What do you think that you got to that phase that you just decided that that point of surrender, basically, that made you to drop your life in the hands of Jesus?
Okay. You know, thank God for the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the things Jesus said about the Holy Spirit that was going to happen is that it's going to convict the world of sin.
Yeah.
You get to a point in life where, you know, there's a vacuum in everyone that cannot be filled. A lot of people try to fill it with sex.
Yeah.
A lot of people try to fill it with wheat. A lot of people try to fill it with pornography. A lot of people try to fill it with having multiple sexual partners and all that. That vacuum that drives people to do crazy things cannot be filled by anything in this world except Christ. So you get to a point where you come to the end of yourself and you see, you will realize the need for a savior, that I can't help myself. I know what I'm doing is wrong. I know, but there's something telling me that this is wrong. Come to it. More like, but then there was no resolve. But at the point where you come to the end of yourself and you see the need for a savior, and that's the point a lot of people, that's the point you surrender. That was the point I surrendered, and then everything turned around. It was more like a higher power was not controlling me from inside. I saw the need for a savior. I knew my life could not continue on that path. And it's a miracle that you're already going on this path. People already, you know, people already know your future without you declaring your manifesto. Yeah. They know this is your end. But suddenly something happens and then the Lord rewires you. He redirects your path and everything changed.
Yeah.
As in everything changed, Pastor. Yeah. So much that my dad could not relate the new share with the old share. I remember a time I was asked to lie. My dad was supposed to pay my school fees. Then somebody, my mom decided to pay that back. So when my dad decides to pay, I'll just collect it and give it back. You know what parents do at times?
Yeah.
I couldn't bring myself down to tell my dad that, give me the money. It was that this was a lifestyle I didn't have to think about.
Wow.
I didn't have to think to lie.
Transformation.
I remember that incident happened and my dad looked at me.
Yeah.
He couldn't understand.
Yeah.
And he would have asked him, what happened? Like, what happened to you? There's something that happened. There's a shift that happens to us when we come to Christ.
Yes. Other person sees it. It's evident. This person is changed.
It's very, very evident. I mean, I was trying to be a tomboy. Suddenly, you didn't have to, like, correct me to tame me. Yeah. I knew what was right from what was wrong. And I had the resolve to say no to sin and yes to God. So, it's that point of surrender.
Wow, that's amazing. Salvation is such a beautiful experience.
Very beautiful.
While you made this decision to come to Christ, were there things that you struggled with even after you became born again? It's not something that happens overnight, I know. There are certain character traits that you might still have found in you. So how did you deal with all of that?
All right.
If you had any.
Well, I still struggled with some things because of the kind of childhood experience I had, of being exposed to sex early, being exposed to boys and all that. I think it formed a habit in me over time, such that even when I was born again, I was so very emotional. Like I could, if you ask me now, I could say yes almost immediately and all that. Because my heart was always open for, even if I wasn't going to have sex with you, like, you know, that desire to be intimate was there for a very long time and all that. So there were things I struggled with. I wasn't always straight, but thank God for the Holy Spirit that helped me. Apart from that, I'm not sure.
Do you keep on masturbating after you became born again?
No. Miraculously, I actually stopped masturbation before I became born again. I didn't know how it happened. I just knew that something higher than me just made me stop.
Because people usually think that all of these habits and addiction, they are very, very difficult and impossible to stop. But there's nothing the Holy Spirit cannot do.
There is nothing. Like, I mean, there was even a time I knew that I watched pornography. But then when you're born again, you try to go back to those things. When you do it, your conscience will convict you.
Yeah.
There's this appetite that been, you know, the appetite had been fed for long. So you don't just get to a point where, you know, you have to stab it over and over and over before it dies.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Because it would have formed an habit over time. You know, definitely you might have some struggles. I didn't struggle with quite a number of things when I got born again, but I know I had just a few.
Okay. So basically, we've already talked about character, changing character, your attitude.
Yeah.
How did your perspective on life change? How did you start to walk in purpose? I mean, before you became born again, I'm sure you did not see where you were heading towards in life. Like you said already, everybody thought you were going down one lane, and then all of a sudden you just find yourself doing these things. I just want to ask, before you became born again, did you ever think in your wildest dream that you do the things you're doing today? Do you have an idea, maybe God just put something in your heart, that you do any of these things?
Well, I'll say yes and I'll say no.
Okay.
Because while I was very young, I can remember a picture in my head right now. I was very young, maybe my SS1 or my GSS. I really cannot remember the year, but I was very young. I remember I was on a Saturday morning. We're doing normal house chores, and then there was this an abandoned stand in my house. I just turned it into a pulpit. I took an abandoned Bible, placed it on it, and I was preaching. I imagine myself preaching to a congregation. So the truth was there. Yeah. One thing about purpose is it has always been there. Yeah. We are the ones that, you know, we discover it.
Yeah.
We get to know this is it and all that. So in the back of my mind, I liked it. I didn't know why I was doing that. Mm-hmm. It was more like something, a trait that was trying to find expression.
Exactly.
But if you had asked me a few years ago that, was I going to be doing the things I'm doing today, I would say no. I had no inclination. I had no inclination whatsoever that I was going to be doing ministry, that I would be preaching to people, that I would be sharing about the gospel.
Yeah.
I mean, I just wanted to do boys, have money, be the tomboy. I wanted to grow up as an independent woman, like the kind of. So I didn't know that. I had no idea that I'll be doing the things I'm doing today. Although the traits were there, you understand? I was close to, I was part of church at a very early age because of my parents. I was part of choir. I would go for Bible quiz. I would win, you know. But then I never had a full grasp of what I'll be doing today as at that time.
Yeah, because even while we are still seeing us, God already has a plan for us.
Yes.
We already have a purpose in Christ, but God just wait for that point for us to be reawakening and actually enter into that plan that God has
actually for us. Before we're giving back to God, already set out the purpose for us. You know, just the way Apostle Paul said that he was a murderer, he was a persecutor.
Yeah.
But then when he pleased God, that separated him from his mother's womb.
Mm-hmm.
So all his action did not determine his purpose.
Yes.
The purpose was what determined his birth.
Yeah.
Although he came to earth and then he went another lane until God now redirected him to the right path. So the purpose is always waiting for us. It is our is the new birth. The new birth is like an ordination to carry out God's purpose.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. So basically, tell us about your life now. What drives you? What motivates you? What do you live for now? And how has knowing Christ and coming into the knowledge of God helped you to scale through life?
I would say that my life has been beautiful ever since I got born again. Have been enjoying God. That's the sincere truth. It's not a cliche. I can't imagine what my life would be right now without Christ. What the main thing I live for is for Christ. Like, I live to, you know, spread the gospel, establish the kingdom in the hearts of men and wherever I find myself. And through every platform God gives me, you know, I got a call to ministry, to start out fully in ministry in 2015, although I didn't eventually start until 2016. And then, amazingly, God has, you know, opened my eyes
given me a lot of privileges and platforms to share the gospel. Apart from the ministry, even you having a personal relationship with him, you know, it brings so much satisfaction that nothing else in this world, not your career, not money, not friendship, nothing. So that opportunity of having a space in your life, a vacuum in your life, filled by Christ every day, it keeps getting better. By the grace of God, I'm in ministry today. I'm also a physiotherapist. I'm doing one thing or the other. I don't even know what I think I'm doing.
You have to be a serial entrepreneurs. You're a serial ministry woman.
You know, from one assignment to the other. You know, when you're preaching these things, you can relate with people's struggles. You can relate with people's past.
Yes,
you can see reason why a lot of people have lost their identity to pornography, to masturbation, to sex, to their past. You know, one of the things that plagued me even when I became born again was my past, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, it was my past. I lived in guilt for a very long time. I remember you asked the question.
I was
that,
going to ask if you had any regrets.
I lived in guilt for a very long time. But that's that's what the knowledge of God's word will liberate you from. It's not everyone that has a horrible past.
Yeah.
But there are some people's past that very horrible. And then if you don't know who you are in Christ, devil will use that as an opportunity to take advantage of you. He'll play guilt trips on you. You know, you exactly. You find your identity in your past rather than in Christ.
Yeah.
You find your esteem in the things you used to do rather than in Christ. Even though you're not a new creation, you wish, I wish I didn't have to do that. I wish I didn't have to kill someone.
Yeah.
I wish I had not, you know, lost my virginity. You begin to tie your identity to the wrong things you have done in the past.
Yeah.
Actually, your identity is not in any, is not in anything. It's not in your past. It's not even your present. Your identity is in Christ Jesus. And for those that are listening to me who are still being held bound by guilt, held bound by, you feel ashamed about the things you have done. You've probably committed abortions. You've probably slept with several guys. You're not proud. Yes, you may not be proud of those things, but the moment you came into Christ, you became a new creation. The truth is God wiped away everything and he has no record of those things in mind. And I don't want you to keep, you know, thinking about it.
Yeah.
It's the devil that is always bringing those thoughts to your mind. That's not who you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's not your identity. You are delivered. You have been liberated. I want you to deep yourself into God's word. Get to know who you are in Christ. And that is where your identity comes from. Your identity is in Christ.
Wow. Thank you so much. It's just amazing when you look at this life transforming. No, this salvation is the biggest miracle that can ever happen.
Yes.
The fact that someone decides to live a life for Christ. Because when you look at unbelievers and you look at people that are living outside Christ, basically, when you look at your former self and you look at, you can't compare them. You can't weigh. They don't go together. Because if you look at how much you would have missed out, everything you're doing right now, all the lives that you have touched through your ministry, everything that God is doing through you, if you look at how you would have hindered other people from being blessed with that one decision. So basically, I feel like when one person becomes born again, that person is just like a funnel to reach out to
for
other people. For other people to come to Christ as well. So when one person gets saved, eventually it's like a butterfly effect.
Exactly.
Other people will get to come to Christ, especially when they decide to share their story.
One thing that
shows that, okay, I'm like, we are talking about how the devil tries to guilt trip you and everything. One thing that shows that, okay, I'm done with the past, and then is when you can boldly come out to talk about it. Like, this is who I used to be. I am no longer this person. This is who Christ has made me to be.
You know, the funny thing is that for the people that have known me in the past 4 or 5 years, they would never have imagined
exactly
that I had this
like
kind of past.
Like what I said about you when I started.
When people meet me for the first time now, they are quick to assume, like I was just like John the Baptist. You were filled with the Holy Spirit from your mother's womb. You know, you are doing these amazing things for me. I mean, people would ask me, even like senior ministers, when did you become born again? Can I know about your, like, can I hear your salvation story?
Yeah.
How long have you been in ministry? You know, it seems like you've been doing this all your life, but actually, I've lived more life in sin than I've lived in Christ. But let me tell you, I wouldn't give up a second of my life now in Christ for to live outside Christ, because there's no life outside Christ. Yeah. The devil may paint the outside world to you to be more fun, more exciting. You know, tell you once you become a Christian, you won't have access to the. Let me tell you, the life in Christ is more fun than what the devil is presenting to you. What the devil is presenting to you is just a perversion of the real thing.
It is.
The real Christian being in Christ is the best thing that can ever happen to anyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not boring. Christianity is not boring. It's a relationship. It's not a religion. And that's what makes it different. You understand? And there's a pure transformation that comes with being in Christ that people who have known you before, they will see you.
Exactly. I was going to say, that's, sorry for cutting you short. No, that's problem. Something that happens. You know that point when you become born again, when you start having those fears, like, what are these people going to say about me? When you become shy, you don't know how to come out and now say that I'm a changed person and all of these things. Start thinking, oh, this is my friend. This is my ex-boyfriend. These people I used to roll with that maybe are still insane. What are they going to think about me? But then you come into that boldness just comes, and then it helps you to start living this life. Because like you said, when you look at that your life, you cannot, people now, they cannot imagine that that was where you used to be. And then you'll be thinking that this is how people are going to see me my whole life. But now people no longer see you that way because you're totally changed.
Very true.
Wow. Very true. So I think you've already touched everywhere that I wanted us to touch today, and I'll just say thank you so much. Thank Do you have any last much. Words for anybody that may have that is struggling with finding their identity?
All right, I'd like to tell you, whatever stage you are right now, whether you are not born again or whether you're born again, especially for those who are not born again yet, I want you to know that God loves you. God is not mad at you. Regardless of your past, regardless of your mistakes, regardless of how deep you have been in sin, God is not mad at you. That was why he sent Jesus to come and die for your sin. God has a bad case of I love you for you. Yes, in particular. And when you come into Christ, your sin no longer matters because Christ has already purchased he has already bought you over with his blood. Forget about what people would say. It's even a bigger testimony. Look at the many people Jesus encountered in the Bible.
Yeah.
They were people with ugly past. The woman Jesus met in John chapter 4 by the well of Sychar, she had a horrible past too. She had been with 5 guys. Like, that's not what any...
Five husbands.
Was not even her husband. More like she was dating... dating another... That was like fornication, adultery, everything all put together. So what I'm trying to tell you is that no matter how bad your past has seemed, there were people in the scriptures that had even more terrible past, and Jesus reached out to them. And the moment they encountered Christ, everything about their life changed. So I don't want you, the devil, to trip you, number one. All you need to do is to embrace the love of God. I want you to know that God loves you. God is not mad at you. Your sins have been forgiven. All you need to do is to come to Christ, believe in your heart that is your Lord. He died for your sin and he was raised for your justification. And then you confess him as your Lord and Savior. And if you are born again and you are still struggling with an habit from the past, you're struggling with an addiction, you're struggling with your guilt, you're struggling with whatever it is, I need you to know that there is deliverance, total deliverance in Christ. Don't let the enemy keep you at that point. Don't let the enemy keep you in masturbation. Don't let the enemy keep you in pornography. God has now wired in your spirit an ability to live holy, to live righteously, such that you can, live a life of victory over those things that once kept you bound. And how to lead, to walk in that victory is by you renewing your mind, because those habits are built over time in our mind, not in our spirit. So when you become born again, your spirit becomes new. So what will make you live a life of victory over those struggles is by, one, feeding your spirit man, praying the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Make sure you belong to a local assembly, a church, a gathering of people, fellowship with other people. Study God's word. Mm-hmm. It will grow your spirit man, and then it will renew your mind.
Yeah.
And that is what will give you the resolve over sin. But because the truth is, even when we are born again, some of these carnal desires still come.
Yeah.
The temptation to go back to those things still come. So how we overcome them is by making sure that our spirit and our mind are strong enough. Yeah. They give us a stronger resolve to say no to those carnal desires. I'm not saying that you will suddenly stop masturbating the day you give your life to Christ. Yes, the power to live over it is now wired in you as a Christian, but you also have a role to play, and then I believe you'll be fine.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much, Pastor Shea. Thank you for for coming on this with me. Thank you for sharing your story and for being so plain and open with us today. I really, really appreciate it. God bless you so much.
Amen.
Yeah. So thank you for listening. If you have any questions or comments, you can send me an email at saltwithanne@gmail.com, and also follow me at anointed on Instagram. That is Anne with an E dot ointed. And also, if you want to reach out to our guest speaker for today, you can reach out on Instagram as well at Sheye Falujo. Yes. So thank you so much. God bless you.